Well, yesterday in the skies in Los Angeles, perfectly clear. Not a cloud, not a jet trail, not a chemtrail, nothing. Today, jet trails, chemtrails everywhere, everywhere. So here's my thoughts and theories on all this. I think chemtrails are the real deal. Because, you know, people who say, no, they're only jet trails. Wait a minute. There were the same amount of planes that flew yesterday as they flew today, and there was nothing in the sky. Why would the jet trails be there today and not yesterday? Now, somebody is spraying something deliberately, and it's hanging up there, I think. Anyway, we'll come back in a moment. Open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, another hour here of open lines for you. By the way, in Vancouver, September 2nd, I believe, in Canada, we will begin again at 10 o'clock p.m. I know a lot of you in Vancouver asked me that when I was up there for the event several months ago. It will begin. As a matter of fact, rumors were leaking out while I was there that was going to happen. But we've confirmed it. It will happen. 980 on the AM dial is our affiliate up there. And so those of you in Vancouver who have waited for our start time at 10 o'clock, there we are. We've only got one other market. I want to get that switched to 10. And then one other market we're missing. And we have a full house. And we're ready to go. We've hit 573 affiliates across North America. All-time record. All-time high. I'll thank all of you during our shout-out in about 15 minutes or so. Okay, back to the phones. One of our favorite towns in Buffalo, New York. David's there. David, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Good morning.
You too, Dave.
I just wanted to call. About 2.5 years ago, my mom passed away from cancer.
Sorry to hear that.
And at the time, my son was about 2.5 years old, too, as well. And I was watching him at home, and I got the phone call that, you know, this was going to be the day she was going to pass. Hurry up and get down to the hospital. So I grab him. I get down there, and they're like, you can't bring your son to the room. And I said, look, my mom's in hospice. I'm bringing him up no matter what. And I get up to her room, and I didn't want him to see her hooked up to the machines and the ventilator and stuff. So just to, like, in a small hallway, I'm like, you know, tell your Nana you love her and you miss her and, you know, you love her and goodbye. And he's blowing kisses to her. And she did pass later that night. And a couple days later is her funeral. And I ask him, you know, he gets up in the morning. We're getting ready for the funeral. And I say, you know, AJ, how did you sleep? And he goes, well, not good, Daddy. And I said, well, what do you mean not good? He goes, Nana, she came and she scared me in my sleep.
Whoa.
I go, well, what do you mean she came and scared you in my wife at the time is standing there turning like all shades of white, like looking at me like, what's he talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, well, what happened? He goes, well, I was sleeping and Nana came into my room and she woke me up. And I'm like, well, did she say anything to you? He goes, yes, Daddy. All she said was, I love you too, AJ. It'll be okay. And then she just went away.
Wow. So you got to weigh a couple things with that. One, can a little guy like that have such a vivid memory of this in a dream? Maybe, but I think right. I think he was visited.
Oh, I definitely think he was visited. Just the simple fact that he told her he loved her, and then she appeared later and said, I love you,
exactly,
too.
She could not do it when she was in those tubes and everything else, but she could do it afterward.
Exactly, yeah.
That is amazing. I love that story. How's he doing now?
He's great, and he still talks about her to this day. Like, he remembers her 100%.
Does she still visit him, or do you think that's stopped?
No, I think I definitely see a lot of her in him, so I think she's around no matter what. He's the firstborn grandson. There's two other granddaughters, but he's the first grandson.
Oh, yeah, there's always a special thing there.
Yeah, they definitely had a special bond.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got 6 grandchildren. Oldest is 19. We helped raise her when she was a baby, and you love them all the same as you do your kids, but you always have that little special friendship with one or the other. And I've got that with Ari, who's now 19, turning out to be just a wonderful little girl and a wonderful woman now. Francis in Los Angeles, welcome to the show. Hello, Francis.
George.
Hi.
Question.
Sure.
I've heard you talk to one of some of your guests, and they mentioned the other night about white gold. And I wanted to know, what is the story on white gold? Because we're finding it on some of our mining claims.
I first found out about the white powder of gold from Sir Lawrence Gardner, who was one of our dearly departed guests last night when we had our departed show. And he believes that white powder of gold has incredible properties of mystical things, the ability to levitate, health purposes, and, you know, ancients, he believes, consumed it, ate it. And it's a fascinating theory on what that is. But a lot of the ancients, alchemists, would always just try to, you know, powder gold up, and they would use it for all these other properties. Fascinating story. Let's go out to England on the international line. Gail is with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Gail, how are you?
Hey, George, how are you?
Good.
I'm over here in England filming crop circles, chasing crop circles and getting them on camera. And we've seen some fantastic stuff. It's pretty amazing. We actually got to go inside a crop circle yesterday.
And how did you feel when you were in there? Did it feel like you had a lot of energy or what?
Oh my goodness. I mean, we have to hike in. It's not like the ETs put them right next to the road for convenience or anything. You know, we're quite a ways away, but like two fields away, we could actually feel the energy raising. And as we got closer and closer, it was almost like your frequency, your vibration got higher and higher, and like a pressure around you, but a wonderful, warm feeling. You know, I'm a medium, so as a medium, when I do connect with the spirit world, I have to raise my vibrational energy, and it felt like without any kind of meditation or anything, that is what's happening when you go inside one of these circles. They've got this energy vibration, so you feel like you kind of connected up there.
What's your theory, Gail? What's your theory on what these formations are?
You know, I was completely surprised. I was thinking, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, the ETs come, these balls of light, they come and they make these patterns in the crops in that they're communicating with us. And that's kind of what I was expecting. But I sat there and I meditated and I got something that was completely not what I was expecting at all. And what this was, George, have you ever seen orbs like in your photographs? Orbs of light showing up,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And they've got different patterns and faces. Have you ever seen that in your photograph?
I sure have.
Okay. Well, I got kind of a vision of orbs, but massive ones, coming out of the ground, not like something coming down from the sky and making a pattern, but rather like a sphere of energy coming out of the ground and leaving like an energy footprint.
Yeah, but who do you think, Gail, is... Who do you think is creating this? ETs, the planet? They're coming from somewhere.
Some kind of very high energy, whether it's ETs, I mean, that would be my guess, or some kind of angel energy. You know, we all have kind of an aura around us, maybe 2 or 3 feet, and that's kind of an energy that we have around us. These things are massive. These things are like a half a mile long. So if you imagine that this is some kind of an energy that has an aura that big. I mean, these are very, very high energy beings.
And it's hard to believe.
Feel like they're living beings of some kind.
Hard to believe, Gail, that some pranksters would be out there doing something that's a mile long, you know?
You know, a lot of the locals will tell you, it's a bunch of rubbish, you know. And some of them were clearly man-made. I mean, you could see it. We kidnapped the Archdruid of Avebury, who came around with us, and he was like, it's a bunch of rubbish. But when we got to this particular one, he said, okay, this has a certain energy.
Yeah, that's something. Gail, thanks. Enjoy yourself out there.
Thank you.
Gail Thackeray, of course, is a medium. I've run into her at some events around the country. She's got a pretty good following out there. Let's go to Chris in Augusta, Georgia. Hey, Chris, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
What's good, George?
Hi.
Hey, I want your opinion on something.
Sure.
What do you know about time travel and UFOs? Do you think some of the things we see out there are time travelers from the future?
Very possible. You know, if you jumpstart civilizations, and let's add 1,000 years to where we are today, it's very possible, very conceivable that there's time travel. I don't know when it happened, but it happened somewhere in the future. If it did, maybe they mastered the ability to come back into time and visit places. Let's go to the year 2013. Let's go see what's happening there. Let's go to the 1800s. Let's go all the way back. So to answer your question, absolutely possible that time travelers have come back here and that UFOs could be those time machines to allow them to come back. I cannot rule that out. Not when you're talking about the future and trying to predict what could happen 500, 1,000 years out, maybe even sooner. Cape Coral, Florida, east of the Rockies, Daniel's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Daniel, how are you?
Hey, good morning, George. How you doing?
Good.
So I just wanted to speak upon, I've read, like, many books, like, by Graham Hancock and David Icke and whatnot, yeah. You know, just trying to search, you know, answers, you know, just trying to figure out what's the deal. And I came across this book by John Lash. I believe you interviewed him some time ago. And this book is called Not in His Image. And I don't know. It just honestly, like, after I read that book, it really felt like this is, I don't know. It just really resonated with me. I really think this is something that no other person's ever brought up before, you know? He's really made a lot of connections with you know, different similarities of world cultures and, you know, the ancient, you know, texts of the Sophia myth. And I just started thinking, you know, how he explained how the Archons, you know, these non-organic beings use one of their ways of penetrating us is this thing called HAL. It's, you know, virtual reality, some sort of way of, you know, deceiving you know, us into, you know, thinking whatever crazy things. And I came to thinking of, like, you know, look at the movie Transformers. What are the names of the bad guys on there? You know, they're called the Decepticons, you know,
yep.
Archons, Deception, you know, and it was like, oh, wow. And then you think about Star Trek. Who were the, you know, the most feared out of all the alien species in that, you know, that series? Who were the most feared that the Federation fought, you know? It was the Borg, you know, those hive mind, cybernetic, you know, species that, you know, resistance is futile, you know? It was funny term that they always said. Even Michael Crichton wrote a book, it was called Prey. And it was about these small microorganisms. Well, they were non-organic microorganisms that were just killing everyone. They would, like, go into people's mouths and people would breathe them in and it would just destroy you from the inside. And it's just like you keep looking in different areas and you just see the same themes. You know, other, you know, the UFO thing, you know, I really think that it really is a psyop to make us believe, you know, that there is an alien race that's going to come and attack us, but it's not really true. They're just trying to trick us because they feed off our fear. They want us to cower that we're always going to be invaded at one certain, well, whatever, at one point.
Daniel, you are not alone with that possibility. There's a camp out there that believes that it is a deception. There's a camp out there that believes these are demons, not friendly ETs from other planetary systems, but demons. I would love to believe that they're coming from other planetary systems. To me, you know, that tells us we're not alone in the universe. But you know what? They could be demonic. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Let's take a few more calls here before the break. Tom is in Fallbrook, California, first-time caller. Hey, Tom, thanks for calling.
Yeah, George, I love your show.
Thank you, sir.
I've got a story to tell you. My family has been myself, two cats, and a parrot.
I love that. What kind of parrot? African gray?
It was a South American orange.
Okay.
And I had them 44 years. And I had two cats that came to me out of the blue as kittens, a boyfriend, girlfriend type thing. And the male cat died after about 5 years from a bad heart. And the first part of the story is for about a year after that, every night when I'd go into bed, I'd find this little round depression on the end of the bed where my cat used to sleep. And I'd smooth it out and get rid of it. And the next night, it would show up again. Now, I've always believed in the afterlife ever since my father died. That's another story. But my parrot, unfortunately, my parrot and Cheyenne, the female cat, were best friends. They used to go outside and sit on the porch during the daytime. My parrot died about 6 months ago. My female cat, Cheyenne, had a cancerous tumor, and I had to put her down last week.
Oh, boy.
That was upsetting, and I kept asking myself, did I do the right thing? And then all of a sudden yesterday, I walk out of my porch. And I moved into this house 2 years ago, and there was an empty flower pot on my porch. And I was always going to plant something in it. And it filled up full of leaves and stuff. All of a sudden, I walk out yesterday. I look down, and there's three shoots coming out of the flower pot. Beautiful pre-pink flowers.
So who sent it, the parrot or the cat?
Who what?
Who do you think sent that, the parrot or the cat?
I have a feeling they came from Cheyenne. I was asking, did I do the right thing? And all of a sudden there's a pink flower for each of them.
And there it is.
For the two cats, the parrot.
Oh, you know what? There's no doubt. The energy like that, it goes on forever. And you said the parrot was 44 years old?
Yeah.
They do live a long time.
Yeah, South American orange wing, best friends with the cats.
Did you have the parrot since it was a little baby bird?
Yeah, I got him when he was a little tiny baby.
Oh my gosh.
Me tell you a super fast story about my father.
I've got about a minute or so for you. Go ahead.
Okay, when I was 15, my mother died, my father remarried. And my stepmother hated kids, so they put me in a military academy.
Ouch.
And I didn't see my dad but maybe once every 2 or 3 months. And every Saturday, we used to go out, and we would have to place the grounds. And the cadets would each get a different part of the campus, and we would pick up trash and papers and stuff. So I'm out here one day. All of a sudden, this piece of paper comes blowing past me. And everyone's picking up papers. So I pick up this thing and I look at it, and it's a gas slip with my father's name on it. You know, a credit card slip?
Yeah.
And I'm going, wow, that's weird. He hasn't been here for 2 months or so. So I folded it up, put it in my pocket, and just then a kid comes running down the hill, and he says, hey, Tom, the colonel wants to see you. And I go up there, and they tell me my father passed away that night.
Oh, my gosh. What are the odds of that happening? See, those things are not coincidences.
No, I don't believe they are. By the way, just real quick, about a month later, I had one of those lucid dreams with a phone call of my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking by a payphone. The payphone was ringing. I picked up the phone in my dream. And we had like a 10-minute conversation where he was saying goodbye and, you know, all these things happen. You're right. I don't believe they're coincidence.
No, not at all. We're going to hit this quick break here in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM, and then we'll come back with more of your phone calls, more open lines here for you. I'll also tell you what's in store next week when we come back. And don't forget John B. Wells on Saturday, and I'll be on Sunday in addition to emerging artists and a couple special guests throughout the night as well. Email me anytime, any place, george@coasttoCoastAM.com. We'll be right back with more open line calls. Don't touch your dial. Well, what's a Friday night in the Saturday morning like without a shout out? Thanking all of you on our 575 radio stations now. Thank you so much across North America. And then Coast Insiders, thank you for all you do. Hope you enjoyed the little George time conversation on the phone. We'll do that once a month. And of course, we always do the chats. And then the various chat rooms and groups, Into Infinity, Fantastic Forum 2, Imaginative World, Sorcery IRC. Those of you who follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And if you're not following us on Facebook and Twitter, please do so. We're getting close to another major milestone. So just go click the like button up there at the top right-hand corner. at coasttocoastam.com. And then we've got the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the National Radio Club, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, the new Nighthawk Nation. Hello to all of you. And, of course, our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, and thanks for calling Daniel in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, that very special place. Hey, Daniel, welcome.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure.
Yes, so I'm in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania here, and my wife and I own Lifting Spirits Paranormal Society. And we've collected some of the world's most impressive paranormal photographs here.
You know, somebody just called me about you yesterday, as a matter
really?
Of fact. Yeah. And said that you didn't mention your wife, but said that you're doing a great job up there.
Absolutely, sir. There is one picture in particular that I absolutely must share with you. Are you in front of a computer so that you could look at it?
I can't get to it now, but can you email it to me?
I could, yes. I can describe it to you, though.
All right.
I'm sure you've looked at plenty of paranormal photographs, but this one does take, well, to me it stands out plain as day, but, you know, it's for some people it takes a little bit of time to look at it. But this picture is not only amazing, but it's a representation of what we do. So,
and did you take the picture, Daniel, or somebody else?
My wife did.
Okay. And set the scene for us before you describe what it looks like.
Okay. So my wife is spiritually gifted in many ways. She can feel a spirit's presence when it's close to her, and she actually captures apparitions on a daily basis.
She's like a spirit magnet, huh?
Absolutely. We don't like to use the word medium because there are gifts from God described in the Bible to more accurately describe it. So this picture appears with the Christian views that we have. We believe that this is the right hand of God in the shape of a backwards letter C. And you can see a dark colored ring from fingertip to fingertip. And then in the center of the picture, a center of the ring of where what his hand would be holding is half of a lower jawbone with teeth on it. And then on the back of the hand is a skull face that is looking at a soldier walking in the field in peace.
Wow.
Like nothing's going on.
When she takes these pictures, does she see these images before she takes the picture?
No, she doesn't. She feels where they're at. When there's ectoplasm, though, you can, if you look at the area that the flash lights up with the camera, you can see it. Anybody can see it. I've seen it.
All right, definitely, Daniel. Send me a copy of that at george@coasttocoastam.com. I'd love to look at it. I'll get it up to Lex, and if he likes it, he, you know, we'll get back to you and get permission to put it up on our website if you so choose. Let's go to east of the Rockies. We go to Monmouth, New Jersey. Ellie is with us. Hello there. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, George, for taking my call. And thank you to all the military people for this service, too.
Thank you.
What I have is four short segments here, and the nexus of all of them is love and vibrations. The first one is there was a Star Trek, excuse me, I'm nervous, but there was a Star Trek story called The Lights of Zatar,
uh-huh.
And the Enterprise, this is just a very short summary, but it has to do with vibration. And they were sending out a distress call. And so the Enterprise went there, but they didn't find anybody on the planet. And so then the next shot is, I mean, I'm condensing this down.
I understand.
One of the shots was you saw a corridor above the bridge on the Enterprise with a whole bunch of people there, you know, but the crew couldn't see them. And then there was something was dropped into Spock's cup and then eventually Shatner's cup. And then you saw them up there with those people, and it was the people of the planet, but something had been dropped into their water or something, so they were all on a higher vibration, and that's what I'm getting at, you know? See.
All right, there's a message here.
Yeah, but anyway, so that's one segment. Then the next segment was, when I lived in California many years ago, I came across the book called Kinship with All Animals by J. Allen Boone. And in it, the one story that I remember was that there was a fly flying around in his room one time, and he was a little bit annoyed about it. But then, you know, having written the book and all about love and everything, he thought, well, I'm going to just project love out. So he did this for an hour or so, and after a while, that fly dropped on his shoulder. And I think that it stayed there for quite a long while, whether it was for a whole day or not, I don't remember. And then, you know, after I had read his book, and I was in my bedroom reading, and there was a fly buzzing around in my room there, and it was annoying, but then I remembered the book, and I thought, I'm going to try that too. So I did, and I just projected the word love out all the time.
And the fly landed on you?
Absolutely did. Not only that, George.
I see. I would have swatted it.
Yes, but I was trying to experiment.
All right.
So the thing is, it not only landed on my hand, but it stayed there. But I was doing that for a couple hours, so I slowly got up out of the bedroom, walked through the dining room, my living room, out into the porch, to my brother's apartment. It was one of those old buildings with several apartments, to his living room, his dining room, his hall, and into his study where he was, and showed him, and he was astonished, and then I traversed the whole thing back again. And the fly stayed there the whole time, you know, and finally I just swished my hand and it left. But the next thing, this is the most important thing. Here, I'm in an apartment building, and there was a bed bug infestation. That's why I'm just
using
my initials. And so they had to do a heat treatment. But before they did that, you know, you have to do a lot of stuff to get ready for it, everything. And I was bitten. I had about 11 bites, and that was driving me crazy.
Oh, you go nuts.
They're like nothing else. Yeah. So I prayed to God, and I said, please let me know what I can do about it. And George, what I got was the word love in, like, print on a print page. I mean, God's been very good to me over the years. Whenever I've had a problem, he gives me words once in a while if I need it and I can't figure out the solution myself. And it's always in words printed on a page. Your own thoughts are just very nebulous. You know, you don't really see them like that. But when it comes from God, it's always like that, you know. And so I started saying that, and I never had another bed bug bite, and it was still a while.
No way.
I didn't. But it was still a while before they got around to doing the treatment. But from that time on, I never had any more bites.
Maybe I'll try that experiment. You know, I will not swat a ladybug. If I see a ladybug, it's in the house or something, I'll pick it up and I'll throw it outside and off it goes. But mosquitoes and flies, I swat them. Tommy's got a text for us. What do you got for us, Tom?
Sorry, I'm still laughing. You'll kill a fly, but not a ladybug.
I'll kill a fly and a mosquito, but not a ladybug.
Is that because a ladybug is less disease or something? Or
no, it's prettier. It's a prettier bug.
This is from Rosie in Florida, and she says, George, can you tell me what the difference between a person's spirit and a person's soul is? I think they are the same, but my sister doesn't think so. By the way, great show last night with dearly departed guests.
I would tend to say that the spirit and the soul are probably one of the same. Some theologians may not, but I do think. I think your spirit, your soul, it's all part of you, and it's all part of this very important area of the afterlife, and that's where you go. But I think it's one of the same.
I've always equated spirit, though, more with your mood, where your soul doesn't come out.
Have you ever talked to people who work in a hospital, and they will see someone who has died, and they see the ectoplasm, the spirit, the soul, rise out of the body? It's an amazing story.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yep, amazing. All right, let's take some more calls. And Ellie, thank you for your call. I still will swat a mosquito or a fly. Not a ladybug, and definitely not one of those fireflies. Those things are gorgeous. At night, on a hot summer night, you see those things flickering everywhere. You ever catch one? I did when I was a kid. And you look at it, and it looks just like a little bug. But then it lights up. Isn't that amazing how they do that? It really is. Let's go to Rain in Seattle, Washington, first-time caller. Hello, Rain.
Hi. I was just driving back from Seattle late night, going home. I'm in the military, you know.
Thanks for serving, by the way.
Thank you. And I heard his story. It was very interesting. The guy that had to put down his animals and they passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah. It reminded me of something that happened to my brother probably 8 to 9 years ago. And we had this cat. We're traveling back and forth from Florida to Utah. We had this cat, and it was my grandpa's mother's cat. She had passed away, and it was the only thing that he had left from her that, you know. And we were getting ready to travel from Florida to Utah on a road trip, and we're driving, me and my grandma and my grandpa and my brother and my sister. And the night before we left, our cat got eaten by a coyote.
Oh,
yeah.
Tragic.
But it was just the night before we left. There was nothing we could really do. We found its collar, and so we just left. And that summer, we were back in Utah. A couple weeks later, my brother, he had this really emotional day. He just freaked out, and he swore he saw our cat. His name was Kitty. That's what my great grandma named it, Kitty. And so he swore it was Kitty, and he was crying his eyes out. And over the next couple of days, we each started spotting it, and it turned out to be this cat that had someone had just dumped a litter of cats out, and we're out in the middle of nowhere, basically, in Utah. And they just dumped a litter of cats because they didn't want to take care of them. And this was the only survivor from the group of cats. And it was the exact spitting image of our previous cat, Miss Kitty.
Wow.
And it took to our family so well. And it's been living with us for the past 8-9 years. And its name is Miss Kitty, but it was really... interesting thing, because my grandma fully believes in spirits and angels, and she's more of a Buddhist than anything, but she believes in spirits and angels. And my brother, he's got dyslexia and ADHD and other small things, and he's got signs of autism, but you know, he's normal and everything as much as he can be. And he's had some really traumatic times in his past. Like this one time he sleptwalked, and he got up on our coffee table while we were in Florida. We've only lived there for about a year at this time. And he got up on the coffee table, and my grandma woke up and she saw him there. She went out and asked him what he was doing. And Chili was sleepwalking, and he started preaching in a whole other language that my grandma had never heard of.
You know, it would be a great show, too. Rain, thanks for that. To do a complete show on people who are sleepwalkers. Some of the weirdest things, maybe during an open line hotline. I haven't had a hotline going on for a long time. Those would be incredible phone calls. People sleepwalking, functioning, doing things, but they have no recollection. They have no idea where they are. Anyways, John B. Wells on Saturday. I'll be here on Sunday with Emerging Artists. And then we've got a whole great week of programs for you coming up on Coast to Coast on Monday. So make sure you're part of the program. We will be right back. But of course, we have this.
I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. Turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
you never knew that your baby was a hybrid. But as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be. Whichever world you're living in, whatever century. Always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Tim Banal, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, John B. Wells, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.